Welcome to the Low Mileage Tour on the 435 Voices podcast. I'm Bill Crabe, and during the rest of this spring and summer, then into the fall, I hope to be able to share the experience I had 29 years ago in 1991. In that baseball season, my friend Sue Esler and I visited all 178 professional baseball parks across the U.S. and Canada. You'll find some video footage from that trip by searching for Low Mileage Tour on YouTube. But here on the podcast, I'm hoping to visit with people that remember the ballparks in a way that we, as baseball nomads, never could. Thanks for listening to the Low Mileage Tour on the 435 Voices podcast. My guest today on 435 Voices likely knows more about golf than he does about baseball. We'll forgive him, though, because he probably knows more about golf than most of us know about baseball. David Weston is the longtime golf editor at the Augusta Chronicle. Yes, that Augusta. And he's covered the Masters 41 times. But he's also been a big baseball fan for a long time and took a special liking early on to Heaton Stadium in Augusta as soon as the Augusta Pirates began to call it home in 1988. Here's my chat with David. David Weston, perhaps tell us just a little bit about yourself, about your background, kind of what your history, well, we can get into the history with the Augusta Green Jackets and the Augusta Pirates in a little bit, but maybe tell us just a little bit about yourself, David.
I've spent most of my dad was in the Army, but I spent most of my time in the South. He had two tours in Augusta, two in Atlanta, one in Alabama, but lived in New Mexico and Paris. But he instilled in me a love of sports. He always subscribed to Sports Illustrated, and he and my mother are from Wisconsin. They huge Packer fans. He was, and I just happened to come of age during the Vince Lombardi era. A very good time to be alive and be a Packer fan.
Yeah.
And he also, you know, he was a football fan, but one year in 1966, we lived in East Lansing where he was getting his master's degree, and he would take us to Detroit. Remember, we went to a Packer-Lions game, but we also went to see the Tigers play the Yankees in a doubleheader. And as it turned out, I can't remember if it was the first or second game, the starting pitcher got knocked out early for the Yankees, and it was Whitey Ford's last appearance ever. So kind of historic.
Wow. No kidding. Yeah. And so tell us about how you wound up covering sports in Augusta and what that was like.
Yeah, well, I went to University of Georgia, worked at the school paper, the Red and Black, sports editor, and my parents had moved back from Alabama to retire in Augusta, and applied for the job here, and I had a couple other offers. This was the best one, and when I started in 78, they didn't have a golf writer. The big shots, sports editors, we had two papers that were combined, would cover the Masters, but the regular time, rest of the golf, they didn't really care about. So I said, I'll do it, and as it turned out, that led me to become, you know, the golf writer after everybody else kind of retired. So it amazed me.
So how many times have you been to the Masters over the years?
Okay, I've covered 41.
Wow.
Last year was my 40th.
That's incredible.
Yeah. In fact, I got, I left the paper in July, last July, but they're bringing me back to cover, you know, to do the same stuff I always did as a freelance writer. In November, hopefully we'll have it in November. But
it's interesting. I was just listening as I upload the videos on the Low Mileage Tour website on YouTube. It goes plays through them and then often switches right into another video. And turns out it was Jim Nance announcing from one of the Masters events. So apropos timing, I suppose, to be talking Masters tonight.
Yeah.
Well, let's shift gears to baseball, David Weston. Tell me about what you remember when we were there in 1991. The Augusta Pirates were soon back playing in the league. They had moved over from Macon not too long before, maybe I think the year or two, and they were playing host to the Sumter Flyers. The Sumter Flyers are no longer part of the baseball landscape today, and the Pirates switched their names to the Green Jackets a few years after being Pirates. But tell me what you remember of that era of Heaton Stadium, where Heaton Stadium came from. Tell us a little bit about that. Yeah.
Well, I never covered any of their games, but we had the guy, the beat writer, early on, he gave me and another writer press passes. So we would go to games all the time, you know, just sit in the stands. And, you know, we would make sure we'd buy hot dogs and Cokes and stuff. But we went to a lot of games for free. But I was, even though I didn't cover them, I was kind of on the ground floor. I was covering ACC football whenever any of our local teams, that'd be Georgia, Georgia Tech, South Carolina, Clemson, whenever they were on the road, I would go with them. And so one Saturday, I think somebody was playing in Raleigh, and we heard that the South Atlantic League was having a big meeting the next day, or maybe the day before, about getting Augusta in the league, getting it from Macon. And so I went and covered that meeting, saying, hey, it's going to happen that Augusta is going to get, you know, the first minor league team since, you know, 30 years back when, you know, Ty Cobb played here and everything. But so I kind of broke that story. And then I always enjoyed Heaton Stadium. When you went, it was on the same property that what turned into be Lake Olmsted Stadium, a very fancy stadium. But originally, they had trucked in wooden bleachers from high school field across the river in South Carolina. And it was just, you know, there was no shade. There was no concourse. I mean, not much of a concourse. There was no roof. But it was just like, to me, I enjoyed that experience more because it was just pure baseball. And that, to me, that
was it's interesting. I'm watching the video, or I've watched the video a couple of times this week. Again, I haven't looked at some of these videos since I put them in a box almost 30 years ago. So some of them are I'm surprised at how good shape the videotape is. But it was a, as I recall, Augusta was a Wednesday night, and it was busy. You know, it was a very good crowd for a Wednesday night in the South Atlantic League, full all around the bleachers. Your recollection seems to be right, according to my video. It was lots of what seemed to be sort of disconnected buildings. So not a traditional grandstand that you would see in kind of a traditional big stadium, but instead lots of little bleachers here and a bleachers there and a concession stand there. Is that the way you remember it?
It was, and it was just wooden bleachers. I remember I was there once sitting like probably the third or fourth row on the bleachers, the wooden bleachers, and we're in about the third inning. We were supposed to meet a guy. He hadn't showed up, and then I kind of moved my feet, and my shoelaces had been tied together. This guy had gone under the bleachers and tied my shoelaces together. That's, you could do it.
Pranksters in Augusta.
Yeah, you could do
that's
that.
That's a great story. And what was the reaction? So, I mean, obviously, if you're listening to this, not understanding the connection, of course, the Green Jackets names comes from the fact that the Augusta National and the Green Jacket of the Masters is given out in Augusta every year. So what was the reaction to the new name? Did people feel a little bit more connected to it than they had to a major league club that was, you know, several thousand miles away?
I think so. You know, there was a contest running the paper for the name, and that won. And Augusta National is very particular about anything use of their name, even indirectly. And so it kind of surprised me that they never protested that. And then a few years later, we got a hockey team, I think also came from Macon, the Macon Whoopee. They came, and their name here was also a takeoff on golf. They were called the Augusta Lynx, L-Y-N-X.
Well, Augusta Whoopies would not work nearly as well as Macon Whoopies, of course.
That's a good name, though.
It was a fantastic name. Well, I was just visiting last week with Rob Grubbs, who's actually a sports writer over in Middle Georgia, and he was reminiscing with me about Luther Williams Field, where I had actually worked. And so I'm familiar with the Whoopies. I did not know that they had transformed themselves into the Augusta Lynx, but that is a clever takeoff. Let's take a short break with David Weston, and then we're going to come back and we'll continue our conversation. All right, David, I'm going to keep rolling, but I like to put a little bit of a buffer in the middle of the interview just because it gives people a kind of a mental stretch point.
Sure.
So I guess I'd love to talk about players or what else. We can wrap up with what's going on with Augusta Baseball today. How many years ago was it that they moved to the new stadium? I can look it up if necessary. No,
I know this would, if they would have played this year, it would have been the third year.
Yeah. So they would have been there at, they would have been in Lake Olmsted Stadium through 2017. Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's pick up and we'll continue our conversation with David Weston in 3, 2, 1. Welcome back. I'm talking with David Weston, longtime golf writer in Augusta, Georgia, and fan of the Augusta Pirates and then the Augusta Green Jackets. And David and I are talking Augusta baseball and remembering back to a Wednesday night in 1991 when Sue Esler and I saw the Augusta Pirates hosting the Sumter Flyers. David, as you think back to watching baseball in Augusta over the years, whether it was at Heaton Stadium or in the newly named Lake Olmsted Stadium or in the brand new stadium, what are some of the players that you recall seeing?
Well, Chipper Jones, Andrew, I don't think Andrew Jones. I saw Chipper Jones, Raphael Furcal, and I did see Andrew Jones. But my favorite story is Chipper Jones. I was with a guy in the crowd, and he was heckling Chipper Jones. And really, you know, who ever knew that this is Class A baseball? That, I mean, Chipper Jones was kind of a bonus baby, but we didn't know that. But he was really getting on him, and Chipper was responding. And then near the end of the game, Chipper told that guy to meet him out front by the dugout. And they would go at it. My friend decided not to meet him back there, but he heckled him.
Made a good choice.
He got his attention. And Andrew Jones, I remember seeing him make, I didn't know who he was. I just remember some guy made an unbelievable catch in center field at Lake Olmsted Stadium because it was a huge outfield. It was not a home run paradise at all. But and then later on, I realized that was Andrew Jones. And then I also saw Raphael Furcal. It was the year that he stole 100 bases for the Macon Braves. Of course, these are Macon Braves I'm talking about. They were playing the Augusta.
Yeah, it's interesting that your best recollections, and not surprising given that the local major league team is, of course, the Braves and the whole region roots for the Braves. So not too surprising that your player memories would come from the visiting Macon Braves in this case. By the way, do you ever chat with your old buddy about almost mixing it up with a future Hall of Famer, or does he even recall that?
He does recall that. He doesn't live here anymore, but he comes into town to play in a golf tournament that I used to cover, and I'd see him there and we'd talk about it. But it was a pretty funny story.
Yeah.
As far as the Augusta people, the Giants, Madison Bumgarner pitched here for a short time.
Pretty good name. David, tell me about Lake Olmsted Stadium. So after Heaton had been open a couple of years, there were some upgrades that happened. What did those upgrades consist of, and what was the primary characteristics of the Lake Olmsted Stadium years?
It just turned into a typical modern-day baseball, you know, minor league stadium. I've been to Luther Williams. That was traditional in Macon, but this was a very nice one, and they drew pretty much what you would expect, 2,000 or 3,000 a night. But the owners wanted a better stadium and want to move it down to the river because the Savannah River separates Augusta from North Augusta, South Carolina. And the city fathers in Augusta would not go for that. North Augusta said they would. But the Lake Olmsted Stadium was, like I said, it had a huge center field. It was, if you saw a home run hit there, you were, that was unbelievable. I mean, that was really quite a shot. And I mean, it was had modern. I mean, they hosted the South Atlantic League All-Star Game. It still could be used today, but it just sits there because the city owns it.
Yeah, tell me. So this is we were chatting the other day, and this is a trivia question. In fact, those of you that are listening can rack your brains as to where else in the world of sports this is true. But of course, we all know the New York Giants don't play in New York; they play in New Jersey. But the Augusta Pirates don't play in their home state either, do they, David?
No, they. Well, the Green Jackets, they play in North
Augusta. Green Jackets, yes.
North Augusta, South Carolina. But they're called the Augusta Green Jackets, so it's that's very confusing to people.
Yeah, it is strange. It's a oddity. How is baseball? So I think this is you were mentioning we're obviously haven't started baseball this year, though there are still hopes that there will be some form of baseball both at the major and minor league level this year. Assuming that it does start, it would be the third season in the new stadium. How has it been received? What's the new ballpark like?
Well, it's called SRP Stadium. It's named after a credit union over there. And we went. It's very nice. They hold concerts there. It is quite an upgrade from Lake Olmsted. But one thing I didn't like about it was we went to the box office and we said we just want general admission tickets. And they said, well, if you get a general admission ticket, you don't get a seat. You just have to stand. Try to find one or stand or sit at one of the outdoor dining tables or whatever. And it's like, that just doesn't seem like minor league baseball to me. Plus you had to pay to park. That was another thing. I didn't like that.
David, since I'm visiting with a golf writer, I have to take advantage of this opportunity. I can't imagine ever talking with anybody else who's been to 41 Masters. So what is that Masters week like? Does this whole city just sort of shut down? Do people that live there all move out and rent out their houses? You know, what's it like there?
That's what they do. And that was quite a problem this year because they couldn't, they lost that money unless these people say they're coming back in November. But I don't know, it's just a joyous atmosphere. People, it's a celebration of like the greatest golf tournament. A celebration of golf with the greatest golf tournament in the world. And it always reminds me of Disney World or just going around to Orlando where everybody's in a good mood. The weather is beautiful. It's the first, part of spring. Flowers are out. And it's so interesting that the whole not just the world of golf, but the whole sports world is focused on this town that week. And,
Yeah, it is. It's sort of unprecedented in that respect because it's not just one day. It's several days, even not just the 4 days of the tournament, but a couple of days before that. And we all, as any sports fan has, I mean, I'm a baseball first guy, as you can imagine, but I have the azaleas of Augusta National burned into my retina, every year, every April, I expect to see that. And it was sad not to see it this year. Certainly hoping to again in the fall and then hopefully at its regular time in future years.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting that if they do have it in November, that winter will only be keep that green jacket for 6 months and you got to give it up for the.
Well, maybe he better plan to win it again next year, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The twofer. David Weston, thank you so much for spending some time with me. It's great to hear about the old ballpark, Heaton Stadium, the Lake Olmsted Stadium in Augusta, and your recollections of baseball over the years. I love some of the stories. I love mixing it up with a future Hall of Famer. I'm glad that wasn't you, David. And I appreciate your time today.
Okay, no problem, Bill.
If you've been following the podcast for a while, you may have noticed that we switched to a morning broadcast schedule now. I'm hoping this is a better time to listen, and that way you can watch the video from the night before, then listen for an account of what each field is like the following day. So tomorrow morning on the Low Mileage Tour, we'll be talking with Melissa Acevedo, who up until very recently had spent 30 years with the Charleston River Dogs and the Rainbows before that. We'll visit about Charleston baseball then,
and now with Melissa. See you then.